So we are still in the thought of necessary evidence. It's part two of this thought. Last week, we defined a couple things. We defined that faith is not just something where you demonstrate belief. Faith is more than belief. Faith is more than saying you believe in something. Faith requires action. Faith requires you to move beyond the moment. The woman with the issue of blood moved beyond her moment, got her healing, got her deliverance, and was declared whole by Jesus. But in the process, we tend to forget that there was a second person who was actually the first person in the story. The first person in the actual story, in the actual text, in the actual section, is a guy named Jairus. Jairus is mentioned in Mark not by name, but by his position. His position was as a leader of the synagogue, a patron of the synagogue. His role was to basically make sure that everything in the synagogue was in place for worship. In other words, he was there to make sure the chairs were where they're supposed to be, make sure the candles were where they're supposed to be, make sure the place was clean, make sure that everything was appropriate for worship. Now, if I know all of us in here who have dealt with the Bible long enough, we know that everybody that was associated with the synagogue or with the temple, they were not all in favor of Jesus. Okay, that was my test run just to see and make sure that I got people in the house. Y'all got too quiet. I mean, quiet is cool, but you know, deathly silent don't work for me. So I want to make sure I'm in the right place. So you got people in the synagogue and the temple, they weren't in favor of Jesus at all. Right? They ain't like this newfangled stuff he was bringing. Amen. Ain't like it. You know, ain't like how he was teaching. They ain't like the fact that he was actually empowering people that felt like they couldn't come in, that they could actually come in. They ain't like them. You know, it's kind of like, you know, that real happy person at work that seems like they're always happy. They don't even need coffee. You get on your nerves. And you like, why are they so happy? And you feeling so miserable. And you mad at them for being happy because they don't care about their environment. They just going to be all right. And you just content with the fact, not content, but you angry with the fact that you don't like your surroundings, but you ain't done nothing about it. Okay, y'all cool. All right. It's kind of like the person that walks in to a place and they appear like nothing's ever wrong. They got life too. Life hits them, but they somehow appear at least that they got stuff under control, and you wondering what the heck is going on. Amen. You know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the person that goes out and gets a new car, and all you got to say when you look at it is, say, oh, I see you got your nice little new car. You know, that unnecessary shade that, you know, you acting like you complimenting, but you really ain't, you know. But they were worse because they just couldn't stand Jesus. And guess what? Jesus couldn't really stand them either, but he dealt with it differently. He confronted it all the time, right? So somewhere along the line, this guy who took care of how worship was set up had to experience Jesus. How do I know this? Because the synagogue where he was normally taking care of stuff was in Capernaum. And Capernaum was at least one place where Jesus healed somebody before. where it raised a commotion because, you know, people don't like it when you're made whole by the Lord. They rather hate on you because, hey, you've got your stuff and you've been changed, right? So this man along the line has probably seen what Jesus could do. So Jesus comes back, and he's come back. And at the beginning, when we know about the woman with the issue of blood, before she comes on the scene, he runs and sees Jesus as he comes off, saying, hey, I need you to come. My daughter's sick. I need you to get there. Help me. Jesus is like, cool, I'm coming. The woman with the issue of blood touches him in the midst of this huge crowd, trying to be close to him, stops. Woman's made whole. He says, daughter, your faith's been made you whole. Go, you're all good, everything. And now we're at the point where after all the talking, all this stuff, here comes somebody saying, hey, Jairus, sorry to tell you, your daughter's dead. So when the messenger comes and says that, within that grouping, somebody says, so why bother the master anymore? Jesus don't take kindly to people talking crazy. Because this is how he responded. He looked at Jairus. He said, hey, man, don't worry. Just believe. Y'all read your Bible, right? You should have been shouting before I got preaching, because here's the reality. There's a faith check here, because the faith was beginning by the fact that this man broke rank to find Jesus to begin with. Then said, Jesus, I believe so much in what God is doing in you that if you show up, I know this situation is going to change. His situation was delayed because somebody else got what he is asking for his daughter. She got hers, and he is still with Jesus the whole time. And they're moving along just to get word that his daughter had died. And Jesus has the audacity to look at this man and said, don't worry, just believe. And they keep moving. But watch this. Only certain folk kept moving with him. Because the people that said, why bother the master anymore, was probably within the 9 out of the 12 that just saw Jesus heal somebody without even touching them. Because what did it say? Why bother the master anymore? The girl is dead. Why bother the master anymore? And the master said, well, since the rest of y'all still ain't picked up on it, let me take Peter, James, and John, because they know who I am. So they're going to come with me, and they're going to go with me and Jairus. Now the rest of y'all just stay on back here, because I don't need that negativity in my life right now. So they get to the house. You know how we do. We crowd around everybody and everything when stuff go wrong. Here's my little, let me take a station break. I'm so tired of people crowding when stuff going wrong and they can't have the same energy when stuff going right. I'm speaking for some of y'all, because some of y'all going to leave out of here and you know good and well that there's some people right now that can't wait for your demise, and they want to be there when you're mourning, not because they're going to mourn with you, but because they're happy that you messed up. They can't get happy with you when you're on top. They're waiting to see you in a broken state. That, you know how people do. So the people are already there. Girl has passed away. She died. It's done. It's over. And Jesus comes to the house and said, why y'all crying? She just asleep. But then by him making that statement, he found out where the negativity was, because the text says they turned from mourning a little girl's death. Read your Bible. It said they laughed at him. Jesus don't take too kindly to that. And he knew it wasn't his house. It was Jairus' house. But he acted like it was his house. And he kicked everybody out that started. So he said, no, y'all got to go. No, y'all get out of here. Y'all are dismissed. And he took Peter, James, John, Jairus' wife. And they went into the room where his daughter was. There were 7 people in the room. A little girl that had died, 5 people to observe, and a Christ that could do anything. And what Jesus did was not something huge. It was not something that would go viral. All he did was he grabbed the girl by the hand, looked at her and said, "Baby, get up." That's it. Fred, he had no oil around, right? He ain't do none of what, you know, we did a couple weeks. He didn't do none of that. All he did was look at the girl, take her by the hand, and tell her, "Get up. Just get up." She got up, started walking around, and then he said, "Look, what you need to do now, don't start going around all this extra stuff. Just go ahead and feed her, and I'm out." I want you to see how, I've been saying this all day, I want you to see how cold my Jesus is, okay? I'm talking ice water. I'm talking ice water. This man overheard somebody in his crew say, "Why are you messing with the master anymore? The girl's dead." And smoothly said, "I don't need you right now. You chill out here." Kept walking with this man to his house. And got to this man's house that he paid for, walked into this man's house like it was his house, said, "Why y'all crying? The girl's asleep." And the rest of them went from crying, which lets you know they were fake, and they decided to laugh at the man because he declared that something was getting ready to happen. And he said, "Well, guess what? Y'all get up out of here because you ain't welcome." Jesus is so cold, he'll come into your space that you know you occupy, that you know that you do stuff, and God allows you to do stuff, to do whatever, to live there and everything else, and will kick folk out. Because he told the man, "Look, you came to me in faith in the beginning, and even after this stuff, still have faith. Just believe it's going to be all right, and we're going to keep moving." And they went into the room and they saw the girl. She was out. She was done. She was gone. They declared her dead. That was it. And he grabbed her by the hand and said, "Wake up." And she got up. Faith is a key to unlock the power of God. You want to see God at work in your life? Use your faith. Don't chant. Don't go around just saying affirmations all the time. Use your faith. What got that woman healed was what? Activating her faith. It was not just saying, "I believe." She did something. The man did something, and even when interruption came, he still walked it out. Because he still walked with Jesus, even when the situation changed. Because he still believed that if he was with him, and because Jesus reassured him it was going to be all right, he kept going, even when the world said his daughter was gone. Faith unlocks power. Yes. It unlocks the power of God. But there are three elements that I want to highlight, and I'm finished. What does faith unlock? What parts or aspects of the power of God are unlocked when faith connects? One is the power to silence the critics. Listen again to what happened in the story. Disciples got dismissed because they decided to open up their mouths at the wrong time. Now think about this. They just witnessed someone get healed on the spot without Jesus touching that person. Okay, let me say it a different way, because I want to make sure y'all get this. They witnessed a miracle right before their eyes without Jesus making a move to touch the person that needed it. And then they had the audacity to turn around and say, why bother the master anymore? Because a message came that said the daughter was dead. So all of a sudden, the same Jesus that didn't even know where the woman was in proximity to a crowd, and the woman touched his clothes, and the woman was healed on the spot, because the text says immediately the condition dried up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Same thing that happened. All of a sudden, now it can't happen for a little girl because of the faith of her daddy. Do you hear this? Jesus said, you're dismissed. You don't get to come. Goes to the house. And the people, all there weeping, wailing, being professional criers. We all got them in our lives. All they like to do. Okay, let me make it light for about 5 seconds. You got folk in your lives, all they do is read the obituary. And they read the obituary because they go to the funeral hoping they'll be able to stick around for the repast. Yes, I said it. You got professional chicken eaters that go to funerals. They don't know the people. They all sitting around there crying. Why y'all crying? She asleep. And they go, man, you lost your mind. Tell me I'm wrong. How in the world do you go from crying to laughing at somebody's statement?
That's right.
And Jesus got rid of them too. Listen, when the power of God shows up in circumstances, it is there to let the critic know you don't have a say-so over what I can do.
Amen.
The reason why some churches will shut up and die is because they are trying their best to criticize how God will move. And you need to understand that when you really activate your faith, God will do things that will cause even the critic to hush. Where are you going to get it? How are you going to do it? You ain't got enough. You can't do this. You ain't got this. You ain't got that. And all of a sudden, God shows up, no matter if it's in your mind, your heart, your spirit, your prayer time, or whatever, and reminds you, just believe. If I brought you this far, I'll take you all the way. If I've been walking with you all this time, why would I leave you alone now? I am the one that can make it possible in your life. Don't worry about what other folk got to say. I'm going to silence them. I got this under control. I got everything that you need to make it happen. Yes, they're going to question it, but if I'm in it, there's nothing they can do about it. When you use your faith, it unlocks the power to silence the critics. But number two, it unlocks the power to see hope. Look at that room setting. There's 7 people in the room. 5 people witnessing things, a child that has been declared dead, and a Christ that got all power. Let me break it down again. There are 5 people to witness what's going to happen. There's 1 little girl that's already gone, and 1 Christ that's got all power. Okay, let me say it one more time in a different way. There's 2 parents, 3 disciples, a Christ that lives forever, and a little girl that has been declared dead. And they're all in the room together. There is not this huge delegation of people that are there. Because all you need to see something happen, you just need a little bit of hope to shine in your life. And at that moment, the parents had nothing else. They knew they didn't have supportive people. They didn't have people that supported their situation because they were already gone. You had 3 disciples that knew what Jesus was able to do because they knew that he was not just any old God, but he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter declared. So they're all in the room with three people that knew what Jesus was all about, two people trusting that Jesus could make it happen, a little girl that didn't have a choice, and a Christ that knew that he had all power. So all of a sudden, when Jesus took her by the hand, he took her by the hand. He didn't do any incantation. He didn't come up with a whole bunch of extra stuff because, you know, believers, sometimes we can get real spooky about stuff. He just looked at the girl, held her by the hand, and said, "Baby, get on up." That's all he said. He didn't have to do a whole lot. And when the girl got up, hope was lifted in them because they witnessed what God can do. And when hope is lifted in you, it's because you see that what happened in your life can happen in mine too. When I see you blessed, guess what? I get hope that know that Jesus can do the same for me. I can't hate on you when you get blessed. I can't get mad when you're being blessed and overflowing because I know that in due time, my time will come too. And my God, every now and then, you ought to have somebody somewhere show you that when you have hope in God, something can change in an instant. I don't need a whole lot of folk around me when God is moving. I don't need 20,000 people to stand up and shout with me when stuff happens. If there's two or three gathered in the Lord's name believing, I know something will change. Folk need to see hope. Sometimes it's not about when God blesses you, it ain't about the fact that you got blessed. Somebody somewhere has been looking around trying to see if there's any hope left for me. Oh, you thought it was about you? No, it ain't about you. Somebody's watching. Somebody has come to the end of their rope. Somebody has said, "I don't know if the Lord's going to work it out." And they run into you. And they look at where you were. And they look at what you've gone through. And they look at your struggle. And they've watched all these different things. And suddenly, they see you back on your feet. Y'all ain't talking to me, cool. All right, I'm going to finish in a minute because I thought I came to the right place. I saw cars in the parking lot, and I see people up in here. But I don't know if I'm in the right place. But there's some of you in here that were just like that little girl. You were laid out by life. People had declared you dead. They declared that nothing else was going to happen. And all of a sudden, the Lord showed up and said, "Get on up." And guess what? When you got up, it gave somebody hope. Yes. Which leaves the last thing and I'm through. Your faith unlocks the power of the resurrection. Yes. Yeah. See, some of y'all waiting for Easter. And y'all, and please take this in the right spirit. Some of y'all ain't got good sense. You don't wait till Easter. You got to see it all the time. See, here's the problem in the life of the church. Life of the church, we wait like we got Christmas coming in a few months, right? Everybody getting all geared up, counting down because silly people want to just buy gifts and spend money they ain't got to impress folk they don't like. And that's why I always say, you know, in my house, I'm cool with gifts. It's nice, but if you didn't like me the other 364 days. Y'all missed it. That's okay. Cool. It's just like my birthday. If you didn't like me the other 364 days, you can keep it. But if you're giving it up, I want to take it. But just remember, people always wait. And I understand, and some people be like, "Well, when we deal with the liturgy and we deal with preparing through the Christian calendar," I get all that too. But if you can't see Jesus all year long, you're missing something. And let me prove my point. Ready? Jesus has not died and has not got up yet, right?
Right.
We're in the early part of the book of Mark, right? He ain't dead. He ain't suffered. He ain't bled. He ain't died. He didn't go under and then come back up yet. But yet, the power of the resurrection was already in him. Because we know that Jesus would declare what? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So he didn't have to die for people to see and witness the power of the resurrection. All he did in this text was give a preview of what was coming. All right. We may all shout out. Can I give it one more shot to see if we can get one good shot? Look at the situation again. All he did was grab her by the hand and say, baby, get up. Hey, wait for it. Some of y'all with me. Wait for it. And she got up and she walked around. All right, cool. So now that y'all got the image, think about this for a minute. All they got in that moment was a preview of what was getting ready to happen. It may have been a little ways away, but they got a preview up close, even if they didn't realize it. Because later on, Jesus would die. Jesus would suffer. And everybody would be able to see that he's going to suffer, that he'll bleed, and that he was going to die. People would be there at the cross as they watched him suffer, bleed, and die. Word would get out throughout the city to people that followed him that he had suffered, that he had bled, and that he had died. Everybody knew that the Savior was gone. And guess what else they knew? That the government had an agenda. So they put him in the grave and sealed it up. And put a Roman seal on his head. He ain't getting up out of here, whether someone tries to steal his body or not. They said he was dead. They saw that he died. But what do we know? His daddy showed up. Sent an angel by. Rolled the stone away, grabbed him by the hand, and said, baby. And he got up with all power in his hands. So I need you to know today that when the Lord shows up and comes into your situation and decides to come into your room and come into the things that you're going through, you better thank God in advance, because you're going to see not just the power of a healing, but the power of a resurrected moment. That no matter what you thought died in your life, no matter what you felt has gone away in your life, no matter what you thought had gone by the wayside in your life, that God will resurrect you from the mess that took you out and the one took you down. God will bring you back and bring you up. I don't care what anybody declared over your life. It ain't over until God says it's over. It's not over until God says it's done. And because God ain't said it's done, don't worry about what anybody else says. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks, because their opinion doesn't matter, because the only thing that matters is what God has said about my life. My hope is still built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I don't care what anybody has got to say about my existence, because the Bible says that I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is there anybody here that knows for themselves that no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, that God will bring you through?